welcome to another episode of Why Didn't They Laugh? This is my first one recording at my new, what is this called, a podcast network called Slideshow. I'm excited. There's actually, I'm using a mic with a stand instead of my phone for the first time yet, and it's very exciting. This podcast is dedicated to bombing. It's dedicated to the question, why didn't they laugh, where a comedian looks out at the audience and thinks, why the hell didn't that work? And I think I first came up with this podcast looking back because I wanted to look forward to bombing. Because when I write new material and a joke doesn't work, I would hate it. So then I was like, okay, how do I construct something where I look forward to bombing so that I can discuss it later on something else? And that's kind of like how this started. So I looked forward to the rejection, and then I looked forward to analyzing it later. And now I'm looking forward to interviewing my friends that know a ton about comedy and are complete dickhead buffoons. I have a guest today, a good friend of mine. He's a comedian. He's a writer for Family Guy. Ladies and gentlemen, Kevin Biggins.
How you doing? Thank you, Owen. I appreciate you having me as your first interview, and I like to thank you for sitting around. You're like, who knows a lot about bombing, Biggins?
Well, you have the combination of being a writer and a stand-up.
Right.
So there, I had a ton of questions to ask about that. You write Family Guy, like you.
And good at sports.
Well, I know what you're good at is impregnating your wife.
I am. I was, yeah, one for one times two.
He recently had twins.
That's right.
And his wife, who I actually have known longer than him, full disclosure, there's been no touching.
No.
But I've known her for like 10 years.
There's been trying, but no touching is what I heard.
There was no trying.
We'll talk about Koji's.
When we worked at Koji's?
Yeah.
I never tried to touch.
I think you're the only one.
I'm literally the only one who valued our friendship.
She was friends when I met her. She was friends with like 15 guys.
Yeah.
And that's what you want in a girlfriend. In a girl that
the
is your friend, but not your girlfriend.
But the funny thing is you do because you know that they can be around guys and not turn up the heat.
Right. But then you have to have like 7 or 8, you know, outside of Barney's Beanery discussions, smoking a cigarette, being like, dude, don't break her heart, dude, or I'll break your face.
Yeah, we were protective of Corby.
Very.
Yeah.
But that's okay. But I want everybody over. And now they, you know,
and
you guys
you
all like
twin.
Me.
Oh, and the funny thing that I just found out about your twins is one is Indian and one's white.
One is, yes, Corby is half Indian. Her father was from India.
And then, tell me, Maltese.
And Maltese, correct.
Like the Falcons.
That's right. A lot of people say dog. I appreciate you saying Falcons.
I knew you'd appreciate
that. Because
she's
not a dog. She's a beautiful, exotic woman.
Exactly. She soars with the angels.
But yeah, Malta, right over there by Sicily.
It is.
Yeah.
It's
above
like,
Africa.
It's Sicily's less aggressive
exactly.
brother.
That's right.
And Sicily's like, what you looking at?
Right.
Malta's like, look at the Falcons.
And have some fish.
Yeah, they like fish.
Yeah, Mediterranean.
And so she has two little twins, and one is a little browner and one's a little whiter.
That's correct.
And let's see. This is a perfect social experiment for how people treat brown people.
I agree.
Because same exact family, same upbringing, and we will see who has an edge. I think it's the brown one. Ever since the show Empire has done so well in ratings.
It's the right time for it.
Oh, the Brown is starting to crush.
Yeah. I think, you know, I predict, you know, if I catch them ever in their room like playing doctor, Luke, the more brown one's going to be like, Dad, I am a doctor.
Right.
And I'll be like, oh, that's right.
And the white one's going to be like, I remember when things were simpler.
Right.
And you're like, you're two. It's like when I was one, white men still had a goddamn chance in this country.
Oh, he's already starting in on that. But that's kind of, I think, probably because he hears his father talking.
Because it's like the good part of me, like the angel on my shoulder is like, yeah, I'm really glad that the world's getting more global and diverse and everyone's. And then the other part of me is like, I'm a tall, heterosexual, white American male. I thought I would have an edge for life, and I just don't anymore.
Yeah.
I watch Mad Men and I'm like, fuck.
Mad Men. It's the final run.
Yeah. They're, like the first two seasons, I was watching that. Like, remember the simple times?
I know.
When just a group of just shit-faced white men sat in a room and dictated the thoughts of a nation. Badly. Badly. But, you know, you always want to be part of a club, and our club is just fucked.
You can't drink that much hard liquor and make it till 4. I mean, sometimes I ditch out at lunch, but that's a fake part of that show.
Yeah. Well, I don't know, though. My grandfather was a lead miner, and he used to drink like a full bottle of whiskey every day. He only had 8 fingers.
Well.
But, like, those dudes would just be fucking hammered.
I mean, miners, I think, are different.
Oh, by the way, not even coal. I used to think it was coal, and I found out it was lead. Like, lead mining, because lead is so heavy. Like coal, like being a lead, like being it. Either he might have had 8 or 7 fingers, but being like a 7 or 8 fingered alcoholic lead miner is a rough ride.
Sure. It's like they couldn't even get a canary to go in there. It was like a pigeon in the coal mine.
Oh, yeah.
A pigeon in a lead mine is the same.
No, but the pigeon.
Because they're trash.
But the pigeon was so big it wouldn't die, but it would just get emphysema.
It would help. Yeah, you could strap a little bit of lead to a pigeon. What were we talking about? Family Guy.
Oh, yeah. So Family Guy. I recently did a voice, and I'm expected to have that become like a thing. Like my character, The Little Cutaway, is going to have its own, you know, show.
Yeah. I think so. You did
Gin and Tonic.
Hall and Goats, I thought.
Well, Hall and Goats got cut.
It got denied.
Then it was Gin and Tonic.
Okay. Oh, so they did have you back.
Yeah.
Okay.
Just one time, though, I'd appreciate more.
I pitch you every day, and the subject gets changed. They're like, "Yeah, no, we'll talk to them. What were we? Let's work on."
Right.
And then they kind of move away from it. But
I get it.
Every
I
day,
get
I'm
a
like,
lot.
Owen can do a lot of voices.
Yeah, he can do his voice in a few different tones.
He can do angry Owen. He can do happy Owen.
Yeah, he can do loud Owen or like soft Owen.
Sexy Owen.
Yeah, I can't do that on cue, though. I have to be, like, fucking wasted.
Well, that's creepy, Owen.
So I have some questions for you.
Okay.
You do stand-up comedy, and I asked you to bring in a clip of you bombing, and then we were going to talk about why.
Okay.
Should we play it first, or should you, like, talk about what it is? Because I haven't heard it yet because I wanted to be surprised.
I won't say what it is. I'll talk about kind of – it's from a while ago. I had to go way back to find one.
Like weeks, a few
scour
weeks.
Scour my – my Mac to see if...
No, when
if
I texted wanna... you, like, bring in a clip of you bombing, you said, which one?
Right. I didn't think we were going to talk about texts.
No, like, you didn't really say which one. I thought that'd be an obvious joke. Where it's like, you bomb so much, it's like,
No, because I used to rehearse so much that I wouldn't bomb.
Right.
I bomb recently.
I bomb more when I rehearse. When I'm like, oh, this is worded perfectly, and that's when it usually doesn't do as well. When I come from the heart... it does better.
Yeah, I don't have much heart, so I need to just kind of fake it and know every word.
But the knowing every word helps?
Yes. But now when
See,
I go
I feel
out,
like
I bomb,
I'm,
but I
I'm talking like an asshole. Like I'm talking like
no.
I'm reading a paragraph.
No. You're very comfortable. This is very smooth. I've done a lot of podcasts.
Well, no, right now I sound great. But
I see.
When I like really rehearse something.
Oh, I'm an idiot. Okay.
It's all good.
No, you always come off as pretty charming.
And I try. Thank you. You know, and I have a great front bump.
Mm-hmm.
Like people look at my jeans and they're like, what kind of heat's that guy got? And the thing about my ween is it's almost as big limp as it is hard.
We got through 8 minutes.
So it's like looks really sweet in my pants. And then, you know, it's still sweet, but it's not like it doesn't grow as much as you think it's gonna.
It's not people aren't scared.
It's 9 inches limp, 4 inches hard.
That's strange.
Can you imagine if it goes the opposite way? Like if literally it's like most things get smaller when they get hard, like steel and whatnot. Water's like the only thing that expands, that and a ween.
I got a shrinker, not a shrimper.
That sounds about right.
I don't know if it makes sense. I was trying to do the grower-shower thing.
So it's a grower, not a shower. It's a shrinker.
Not a dinker.
It's a smaller, not a baller. I got none.
We'll edit some of this out.
No, nothing.
Oh, okay.
So can you play the Biggins clip? This is Kevin Biggins live in Madison Square Garden.
And now, it's going to get you, okay? But you got to be careful not to take it too easy, okay?
prime example, guy who took it too easy, Mr. Easy E. Yeah, y'all remember his motto? In some pussy is the place to be. Always fucking is the life for me. Great. Taking it real easy, just fucking all the time. You want to know not something that's easy? Dying slowly of AIDS. Okay, Mr. E? It's kind of the opposite. It's very, very hard. Thanks a lot for coming out. You
can close it.
Closer.
That wasn't a bomb.
Well, I mean, that's the closest thing I could find to a bomb. There was echoes, and I think somebody was just close to my phone that I was. It was quiet. There was like two girls that were laughing at everything I said.
I like the concept. It's
yeah. It helped that I don't know if
it's like when people say live each day like it's your last. It's like, oh, so don't use condoms and do crack.
Right. Yes.
Basically, you're saying, like, don't take – like, take it easy, but if you take it too easy, you'll die of AIDS.
That's what I was going for. But I didn't – you know, that – you don't want to go out on an AIDS joke, I learned, no matter what.
I think the opposite.
All right.
I say you only go out on an AIDS joke. Like, even, like, a Brian Regan or Jim Gaffigan, like, does a clean 60, and then the last minute, they just do a fucking AIDS joke.
They just Bill Burr it for the last minute.
Yeah, I recently did. I did a tweet that did really well, and then I tried it on stage.
Oh, that's a thing, yeah.
I can actually possibly just get it up on my phone. That's a little ghetto, but.
No.
And it's all good.
No, I also messed up. I don't know. I don't think my sentence structure was correct there. I think I said, you want to know something not easy, that is, or something like that. That's how it went. And, yeah, then I just plowed through, and I didn't know at the time that was a long time ago. I didn't
how know long that, ago in all
that was 7 years ago.
Wow!
At a nightclub, there was probably like I don't know. There's probably like 11
it's
people
weird,
there.
Because since then, I've seen you close with it every time and bomb every time.
Listen, I love it. It's my favorite joke that I've ever thought
my
of.
My favorite joke you do is about how black people don't cross the road fast.
Well, that I was actually looking for because I did that in New York. The only time I ever like went for Comedy Central, it was like this big thing. And I was like on their, you know, I don't know what, 2012, like comics to watch. And I was shit, this is great. And they flew me to New York. And I was like, this is
comics to watch, Bill Cosby, because he's going to try and rape somebody.
Watch him close. And yeah, I had this joke. And it was at Caroline's, and, you know, Broadway is fucking awesome. And
right.
So I have this joke where I say, have you guys seen this new YouTube video that's out about a black guy crossing the street real fast? And then there's silence, and then I say, yeah, because it doesn't exist. And, you know, you laugh, and my friends laugh. And but then no one, it was a rough crowd there, kind of some chuckles. But then I followed that up with kind of very angrily saying, like, because, you know, it's like, come on, move it, buddy. I have to get to work.
Did that work?
No, that went bad. That went further down.
Do you ever feel like when you start bombing, you start to dig your way to China and you either get there or don't get there?
Yeah, I'm not good at like
if it's like, move, buddy, I got to get to work. And you shouldn't even be free.
Right.
Like you just keep escalating a benign.
If I had any balls and any kind of confidence in being heckled and then doing crowd work and heckling back, I think it would be fun to do that, but I don't. I just
kind of
plow
ahead. Do you ever misread a crowd's silence for offense when they literally just didn't know when to laugh? That's happened to me before.
Of course, because, you know, you always think, oh, well, I'm smarter than these people or more clever, but...
Or it's like, okay, let's say you do the joke about... Obviously, the new YouTube video about the guy, black guy crossing the street. No, it doesn't exist. And they don't laugh. And then you're like, well, you guys think that's offensive? Well, fuck it. But they're looking at you like, no, it just didn't make us laugh. Like, we like it.
Right.
Like to elicit laughter sometimes is a lot harder than people think.
It really is.
Where, like, people will smile and be like, that's a good idea. It's good.
Yeah.
Good concept.
I watched all of Louis last year, and I sat on my couch and said, this is really fucking funny.
And then didn't
and
laugh.
Great, and didn't yeah, laugh once. I said, this is really awesome. This is a great show. And that was it.
I laugh at his commercials a lot because they're so tight. Like when his
it was an amazing show.
When his therapist started falling asleep and he just is like, come on.
Yes.
Like, but if you watch the whole scene, you're like, oh, this is well written. But if you just watch little clips, you're like, that's fucking funny.
I also had the racial stuff. you know, hasn't gone it plays in Chicago, but like New York, I don't know. It kind of bombed. And then Jeff Ross, you know, who was the host, came out and was like, "Nice work, man. You tried it with that one joke, but wow." And so he kind of shit on me and then said I looked like.
Oh, by the way, Jeff Ross is a guy who recently just tried to talk to Shaq on a roast by making animal noises and grunting.
That's true.
And saying that he spoke his language.
I thought that roast was very funny.
Oh, super funny.
It was insane. We got to get you on one of those roasts.
I wouldn't be very good. I was a heckler at Renaissance Fair. We've talked about that before. And like, I'm good at insulting people, but I the level they go to is so extreme to me that
sure.
I'll enjoy it, but I'm like, Justin Bieber's still like a little kid. It's like,
I mean, maybe you could be the guy that like really breaks down and like cries and like just comes out with some really serious shit. That would be I would watch that and it would be interesting. I wouldn't be happy.
I would do like mellow shit.
Yeah.
Like I would make it more like I would want them to laugh with me, not be like, I don't know. It seems that there's a real mob mentality with the roast where it's like, let's make this bitch bleed is like the vibe. Same
oh,
with
sure.
like Trump and
oh, yeah,
all these guys. It's like the best roast I've seen is James Franco because it seemed like they were his friends.
Right.
Where it's like, oh, we're giving him shit.
That's true. It is strangers.
And yeah.
Hannibal
yeah.
Buress was.
Yeah. And he, Hannibal Buress was just like, I don't like your music.
That was
asshole.
Very funny.
It was funny, but I'm like, all right. What a roast is really
I know.
Shifting.
I know. It's just.
It's blood in the water shit now. Just, it's like, let's fucking make. It's literally like a witch hunt. It's like, let's throw rocks at the little kid with the Ferrari.
Yeah. He looked.
I thought Martha Stewart crushed.
She was great. She was unbelievable.
Tosh was great. Jeff was great. Yeah. Everyone did fucking great. But people can just be so dark that I'm like, wow.
It was a dark day. I have another racist joke that,
let's hear it.
That didn't do well.
Well, you gave me one that I've worked into
oh, yeah.
it working very well.
Yes.
But it has to be with crowd work.
Yeah.
So Kevin came over to my place and we're working on jokes. And one of his song ideas was black dudes on motorcycles scare the shit out of me. So I expanded it to black dudes with more than one pit bull scare the shit out of me, but a black guy with a cell phone on his belt, I trust. And then I started doing all these other races. And the best way – that, like, works, but the best way is to have the crowd yell out races, and then I just do it on the spot.
Yeah.
Because then it seems like it's not like – my burning opinion versus like I'll just show you that every group has two groups.
That's where I got into trouble with the Comedy Central thing because I asked a African American writer friend of mine because we watched the feed then back when I was working on the Cleveland show, which was a black
right.
show, and I asked him. I go, what happened? What happened there? He goes, you were too angry, man. You were too.
That's 100% what it is.
He's like, there was too much venom. And to follow it up with the, I have to get to work. You're making me late.
Yeah. It's like your delivery is like an, I'm right about this. Right, guys? Versus
exactly,
like.
Exactly. Right.
I used to do a bit.
Come on. You've seen it.
I did a bit about just Julius Caesar where it's like, Julius Caesar took over the whole world. What did he get? I'm like, just a salad. And like when I'd say it mean, people would look at me like, oh, fuck, life is. But then if I toned it down, I'm like, what does he get? A salad. It would always get a bigger laugh because it's like if I was like yelling it at him, like I have a feeling that like if you yell and you're intense, it has to be fucking absurd. It has to be about like marshmallows.
Yeah. Yes.
But if you're talking about some crazy shit. Okay, perfect example. So I'm following Roy Wood Jr., and his closer is one of the best closers I've ever seen about how gay people get shit done. He's like, you can't even call them gay because they attack it with compassion. It's like, don't call us gay. It's like, we're American. It's like, you can be like, you can call a machine like, give me the chips, you gas machine. You got to go see Sylvia in HR. He goes, black people have been working on the N-word since 1911. He goes, to get rid of the N-word, we got to start calling gay people niggers. And it fucking destroys, right? And so obviously Roy's black. So I have to follow it. And my opening joke is about adopting a third dog. And it would just tank every night. Right, right. And we toured for years together. So one night I just go, Roy's last joke was so good. I wish I could write a joke that ends with, we got to start calling gay people niggers. And then I look at my skin and I'm like, oh, I can't say that. And the blacker the crowd, the bigger they'd laugh
right,
because
right.
there's no hate in it. It's just me. It's saying I can't do that joke because of my skin color. Do you see the irony? Because that joke's based about linguistics.
Sure.
It's based around like how to attacks. And the gay population does a much better job than the black population. Black people are like, say what the fuck you just said. And gay people are like, we're just like you. And then they like buy Target or something. But so I one night tried to say it soft, and that was the only night it tanked. Like I was the fucking Grand Wizard. I go, we got to start calling gay people niggers. And like everyone looked at me like, you just said it with shame. Like now we're, and the only way it worked is if I said it like I was proclaiming it.
Right.
Like, we got to start calling gay people niggers.
Yeah, exactly.
And then they'd be like, oh, coming from you, that's insane.
You either have to do that or just be friends with Neil Brennan.
Right.
I think.
Oh, and if Roy didn't close with it, I couldn't do it. It had to be. It had to be. No, but even if he did the joke in the middle of the set.
Right.
He would have to close on that. And then next up, White Owen. And then I would have to open with it.
Exactly.
And that's the only time I've ever gotten away with a hard-on on stage or ever will.
Sure.
Or ever would want to.
Right.
But it just made sense. And that, like, the racial shit, it's like, it has to just, like, your joke about black people not crossing the road fast is hilarious because it's so fucking true.
Sure. I've seen it.
Yeah. And it's like, it's not black or white. It's poor urban.
That's right.
It's like, that's the thing that happened with all the police violence. I was talking to somebody about that. I'm like, the problem is in the city, like black people a lot of times are poor and poor people are scary to people with money. Poor white people live in the country and no one's patrolling the fucking trailer parks because there's no money there.
Right.
You know, if you have Wells Fargo here and then you have a bunch of fucking gangbangers right here, like the gangbangers that are white are making meth. And if they blow themselves up, literally there's no loss. There's no Picasso that burns to the ground. So then you have this like brackish water of money and no money. And they happen to be black, and then that propagates that stereotype. Like, there's just so many more factors.
Yeah.
You know, people think in terms of, like, this cat, okay, cop, kill, black. It's like, no, authority has a problem with people with no money around money.
Yes.
And then the police training is so shitty that when they're scared, they overreact.
Yes. And cops have a problem because they're dicks, mostly.
Yeah, they're either the coolest dudes ever or the worst piece of shit you've ever met.
Or dorks, you know, that now have authority.
Right.
I don't like an authoritative dork.
No, because they make it – it's like what happens with a lot of alt comics where they're like outcasty weirdos, and then you give them like a ton of money and success, and they're the meanest people in the whole community.
Sure, because they don't have any life experience.
No, because they never had anyone touch their ween without being in a movie. And so then, oddly, they start having anger towards women because they're like, oh, you never liked me when I was just myself. You're like, go fuck yourself.
Let's sum it up. People like us are the best. And then there's other people.
I've always said that.
Right. With our, you know, mix.
But, right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, good. Yeah. I agree. That's good. I think that's what this podcast might be about.
I think this actually is coming to another topic that I want to discuss. We need new words.
Oh.
I think most racism and bigotry comes from a lack of vocabulary.
I'd agree with that.
I don't think most people are, in fact, racist. I think they are categorical. That's what our bit was about the more than one pit bull versus.
Right.
It's like, I think that people don't have enough words, and you think in words, you don't think abstractly. So you think in like words, and it's like there is no word for so many things. Like when I do male-female stuff, I'm referring to gender, not dick vagina.
Right.
So sometimes women will be like, well, that doesn't apply to me because I'm a CEO and I never wanted children. I'm like, no, it does though. It's just there isn't enough words. It's like my piano teacher when I was 9 became a dude, and I watched her become a man. She didn't get a penis, but she started taking testosterone, got a beard, all that shit. And I watched her gender change from female to male, and all the things that came from testosterone versus estrogen, and then all the things that came from associating with men versus women. And that kind of got me obsessed with gender versus sex. It's not like, do you have a vagina or a penis? Like, what's your gender? And it's like gender fits. Like there's I want to do jokes about gender versus like, because that would eliminate the whole, I'm a fucking man, but I just like to cook and like cry a lot. And it's like, well, that's fine. That's right. My father. It's like my dad wears kimonos. It's not about like, if you're a dude, you have to do this. And if you're a chick, you have to do that. But it's like, you know, you have to put things in categories or we wouldn't be able to fucking function. We just need more categories.
I had a joke that was in Family Guy briefly, but I think it's out now, which was something about working with Chaz Bono. And it's a guy at a break room, and Chaz comes in and he goes, Chaz, what's up? How's it hanging? And Chaz says, kind of small and up inside my body. And he goes, oh, right.
That's so a good one.
Yeah, it got about the laugh that you just gave. And, well, you know,
how do you know it's going to be funny, by the way, in Family Guy? Because you write it and then the Asians draw it. Right?
Correct. And
so
yeah,
with that huge 8-9 month process, how do you know, like, when you write a bit, because like in stand-up, it's like people don't laugh and you're like, oh, fuck.
Yeah. Yeah, you do it a couple more times. And
with
then,
Family
yeah,
Guy, how do you know?
Well, if the other writers laugh, that's usually a good indication that it's probably going to make other people laugh because they're some of the funniest guys I've ever met.
You ever notice, like, though, that funny people laugh at shit that sometimes other people don't get? Because they like to make fun of funny.
Right, exactly.
It's like Inception.
Yeah.
It's like a joke within a joke where you're like, exactly. Now you're making fun of my reality, which is a writer in Hollywood, which doesn't relate.
Exactly. Yeah, there's too much of that, by the way, I think. And, I mean, we have table reads and then we have screenings. We screen there's like 3 or 4 screenings before it airs, and we have – people come in, visitors can come in, and, you know, there's production people there. And so it usually gets 3 or 4 shots, which sometimes I think backfires because if you hear a joke 3 times, 4 times, you laugh very hard the first time. 4th time, you might not laugh as hard, but like when in America watches it, they're only going to see it once.
Right.
They're going to laugh probably. So sometimes
I see it a lot. The Family Guy and South Park are the two shows that I can watch several times and still laugh because they're hard jokes. It's not like... It's not – that's a downfall, and the good thing about storylines is it's effective, but you only want to really watch it once.
Right.
Because then you're like, no, I know what happens. But with Family Guy and South Park, it's like every 3 seconds is a fucking joke, like a hard joke that stands alone.
And there's – I mean, with Family Guy too, like the animators are so good, and, you know, our directors and storyboard artists, like, you know, there's a chance there where a joke can – it's not even, you know, like that. Have you seen the frog where Peter tries to pick up the dead frog in the shoebox?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Like, that was all in the animation. And, like, the more realistic – and that's something that Seth, you know, pushed early on. Like, you know, have Peter try and pick up the dead frog for – and let's make it long, which is like a –
Right.
You know.
Same with the knee injury and shit.
Yeah, right? Yes. And it's like – As real as it can be, it will be funny because it's a cartoon and it's ridiculous.
Right.
So, like, bits like that you see, and, like, I mean, if there's just roaring laughter at the screenings and things like that, like, it's – everybody's pretty happy and it's
All right,
this is going to go. But it's tough. I mean, I think we throw away, you know, 70% of our jokes go, like, in the trash. And it's,
you
like,
ever,
they're
like,
good jokes.
Do you ever use them again?
Oh, I do. Yeah, I recycle. No, I use jokes. I mean, the Chaz Bono joke I just used again. That killed here.
It's a great joke.
But no, I definitely do. I mean, in the same thing with Twitter.
If something gets cut, are you ever like, well, I'll pitch it again?
Oh, you wait a couple years.
But you gotta pitch it again.
You pitch it again, definitely. Oh, that a lot of that goes on. And it's like if one guy's really opposed to it, like if one showrunner is really opposed to it, like if he's out sick,
right?
Like you pitch it again.
Totally.
I got a joke in. It was my old writing partner, who I still work with, Travis Bowe on Family Guy. We pitched in our first Cleveland show script we ever wrote. We had a joke in there where it was worse than Marvin Gaye's house on Father's Day, and
that's
it was Marvin Gaye's dad
murdered Marvin Gaye,
who killed him. Which is rough. His dad's sitting on the couch, and he comes down, and he gives him a long, skinny box with a bow on it. He goes, Happy Father's Day, Dad. And the dad gets it and goes, Marvin, if this is another tie, I'm going to kill you. And It got rejected on Cleveland Show, and then like 7 years later, I pitched it again, and it went right in Family Guy. And I don't know if it's aired or not, but I think it made it to TV. And I remember Travis and I were in different rooms, and like I was in the main room that day, and I, you know, and he came and like saw it on the screen, kind of looked over, and I was like, you know, I gave him a little wink, and I was like, pushing. I got it in, dude.
Yeah, because you know it's funny.
You think it is, yeah, and you're pretty sure, like, you're like, come on, this is.
Has there ever been a time when there's a joke that you like, are like, this is really funny, I'm so pissed this is cut? Like, I know for a fact this is funny.
I mean, well, that's like every first draft, you go off, you get 2 weeks to write your draft, and you know, you're with it for 2 weeks, and you really go insane. You spend a lot of time on it, and you know, pretty much all other aspects of your life suffer, and you get it down, and before you hand it in, you're like, this is 50 pages of like, I'm pretty sure like everything, every word is like perfect, and
right,
it's hilarious. And you know, and then you go and it gets shit on and chopped up, and if you can save like 30% of your first draft for Family Guy, that's huge.
Huge.
And it doesn't happen a lot. Like a lot of stuff.
Do you think it's because it has to be cut up, or do you think like, because this happens in pretty much all shows? Do you think that there's ever a time when executives are just like, it's good, it's great, let's do it?
Yeah, totally. I think a lot of shows.
Really?
Yeah. I would say half the shows on TV are like, yeah, let's rock this out and
just
go home.
It.
You know.
Right.
But it's tough. I mean, it's like a...
Because in development, like, I've never been a staff writer. I wish I think that'd be a great job. But, like, I've developed stuff where the amount of notes are mind-blowing, and a lot of them are so insane that I know people are just doing it to do it.
There's a lot of people justifying their jobs.
Right.
For sure. And there's a lot of, you know, just kind of... In your mind, you know, like, I remember I wrote a digital short for one of my Family Guy scripts.
Yeah.
And, you know, it was black and white, and it was, you know, kind of shot very, you know, stylistically to how they would do it on the show, and different from Family Guy. Like, it would be very much like the SNL shorts and the Lonely Island stuff. And it was, like, black and white, and I recorded a whole song, on, you know, as Peter, like, on my phone, and I'm, like, kind of – I didn't send it to the whole staff, but I sent it to a couple buddies on staff. I'm, like – check it out.
Right.
Pretty dope song, right? And they're like, it's good, funny. And I spent – so I probably spent like 2 days like just on that, which is stupid to do because my time management skill was not used correctly. But it got cut. Like it didn't even get – and when we were getting to that part in the script, like I got my phone out. I'm like, well, if they ask me like,
right,
what's this even sound like? I'm like, I'm going to play it. And I wasn't going to sing it. Like I wasn't going to perform it in front of, cause that's when people just start rolling their eyes and texting about you in the room that you're a piece of shit. But they got to it. And like, the showrunner was like, okay, yeah, delete that. Just scroll down. And the writer assistant was like, delete everything. And he's like, delete the bit here. And he goes, Yeah. Delete the net. Yeah, keep deleting. And like, they didn't ask about it. They didn't even, and it was just gone.
And then I
was
someone like, just calmly walked over and threw your phone away.
Yeah.
Just so you couldn't even hear it again.
Right. Also, yeah, take Kevin's phone, delete it off.
Take Kevin's phone.
Delete the 7 versions he has on.
Delete all his contacts.
Delete his notes. His hilarious notes.
And someone softly kick him in the shin.
Oh, I should have brought this up real quick to go back to prove your point about not enough words in race.
Yeah.
The thing that happened with the Kentucky player was a perfect example, and I forgot to mention. One of the Harrison twins, after they lost to Wisconsin, was on there was a bunch of guys getting interviewed, and they asked about Kaminsky, or the tall center on Wisconsin.
Right.
And he kind of just, under his breath, was like, oh, fuck that name. Said, fuck that name.
Really?
Called him N-word, like that's, and who's a white guy, a black guy calling a white guy, and it just made no sense. And that, I thought that's a perfect, like, exactly what you're talking about. Like,
oh yeah, it's just
not enough words. Like, he just, that, you know, word.
Racism is kind of like, because it's definitely out there, and you always forget about it until you tour certain cities.
Yeah, oh, for sure.
Because it's almost like a Supreme Court justice defined pornography. I don't know what it is, or no, I know it when I see it. Right. Like, that's basically it. It's like, because you can't put it in a category. What is porn? Is it a naked person? It's like, that could also be art. Is it about?
Right.
You know, I know when I see it. It's the same with racism. It's like, there's no, like, word or phrase that makes you racist, but you just know it. You know when someone's
I like to figure out what porn is by seeing it, like, 6 or 7 times.
Right.
Then I'll know.
Yeah, like porn, only art makes me come.
Correct.
Like,
oh, sure.
I can't jerk
HD.
To porn. I have to jerk to, like art.
Have you ever masturbated?
You say
masturbated.
Jerk. Whatever.
To some pornography.
The answer is yes before.
No, but have you ever, like, watched it, masturbated, finished, and then watched, like, finished the film?
That's a very interesting question. No.
It's weird to do, right? It's weird to do.
The closest I've ever come to that is not X the screen.
Sure.
Because typically it's like, get this out of here.
Oh, get away. Put it on
right.
Shame.
The
shame
closest
spiral,
I've
shame
ever
spiral.
Come to finishing a clip is just minimizing it because I'm like...
get it away.
I'm like, I never want to see it again, but there's a chance I will later, and I don't know if I'll ever find this clip again. That's
yes.
the closest I've ever come.
Right.
And that's pretty rare.
And then you got click off Live Jasmine, get that away. And
yeah,
then,
what's up with fucking Live Jasmine?
I don't know, they're sneaky. What's up with In Your Area?
My brother actually came up with a new word.
New words.
Orgasmeration, which means after you launch, you admire your launch.
Okay.
And he also came up with fun comfortable, which is like being on a first date and seeing two dogs pounding somewhere, and it's funny but uncomfortable.
Okay. I like both.
That's all I got so far.
I had the other day at work, Peter was just dancing around, and he's like, come on. Let's have fun.
Right.
He goes, this is fun. No, this is foon. It's foon. So fun, it's foon. Foon.
I like that.
That was one. There was another one that I did not come up with years ago on Family Guy. It was like, Mern or something.
I can roll with Mern. It sounds like...
That's not right.
It sounds like...
we also like, came up with a new saying.
Right. It's like, do you see the Mern on that?
The Mern. It was... No, Kleeman.
A Kleeman. What's a Kleeman?
I think it was a Kleeman. I think it was a made-up word. That might not be right either.
But
people
what is
look
a Kleeman?
This up. It's nothing. It just sounds like something.
Like, and then there's also words that need to come back, like Popinjay.
Popinjay.
Which is an overdressed buffoon. Like, there's so many times where you just are like, look at that Popinjay. And I'm like, why? People need to know this word because it's constant that I think it.
There's a writer that's been there forever on Family Guy, Danny Smith, who just – he had this joke where Peter – was interviewing some people on an old game show, and he goes, oh, you old Poppin' Jay.
Are you serious?
And it got cut, and you could just see the disappointment in his face, and, like, I thought it was so funny. I had never heard it, and it was just...
Oh, and a synonym is coxcomb, but but that sounds... Poppin' Jay is perfect. Coxcomb is a Poppin' Jay, but a Poppin' Jay, you just picture this, like, overdressed buffoon, because it also implies that the person is very outgoing.
Oh, Sharpie. Is Sharpie a thing?
A Sharpie, like the pen?
No, but to use it for like, this was actually made up by my cousin's wife, Lindsay. She calls like kind of douchebag guys, not the Jersey Shore guys, but guys you'd see at like the University of Iowa, like Italian guys at the University of Iowa.
Right.
She calls them Sharpies.
That's perfect.
I love it.
I love Sharpies.
So we got a few.
Because, a point I want to bring up is how much words affect a culture. Like, for example, Spanish, Hispanic people, a lot of times are very gender specific. Like, they're way into gender roles. Like, you watch Hispanic TV, right. There's a chick with huge tits, and everyone's slapping in the face. The chick's cooking, the dude's beating someone's ass.
Right.
Because they put gender on, like, every word.
Right.
It's like a couch is, like, a male, a fucking sailboat's a female. Like, so that, like, when you think that way, like, is a table a man or a woman? Like, that's how Latin, that's how French is, that's how Spanish is, and Italian, and you see it in the culture. And then when you see, like, Germanic or English not do that, you see that it's a different culture. It's like the women are like, you know, a little more fucking strong. In Germany, it's like, the fucking have a sword. I can't even do it.
Table's a tough one. Table's
like
kind of perfect.
Table?
Man or woman, I don't know. Because you assume the man built it.
But the woman serves on it.
Right. That's a perfect one.
How quickly that becomes very sexist. Were you like, a table's got to be a woman because it's part of the dinner that she made.
But the man built
it. The man built it and paid for it. And he paid for it. And he fucking wants.
And he's tired from building it and hungry.
And he can only fuck on it because the angle's perfect and he has a bad back. True story sometimes for me.
Sure.
Here's something funny I was trying to work on that like when a girl says I'm more than a pretty face, it's absurdly arrogant for like a thousand reasons because it implies that it's obvious she has a pretty face and then the just means that that's not even good enough right. And then she claims that she's also more.
Sure.
It's like obviously I have a pretty face. But it's just a pretty face. Like 95% of the population is like, I'd be fucking pumped with a pretty face, asshole. And then they're also more.
They're also so talented. And if you even get to know me.
Yeah, if you even get to know me, you'll see that I'm not just a pretty face.
I also like hiking and photography.
Oh, God.
That's getting sexist again.
Another one is that religious fundamentalists just don't understand metaphor. That's a bit I'm working on.
Okay.
Where... like the ISIS guys and all these people, I mean, they're like reading the books verbatim, but they just don't understand symbol.
Yeah. No.
Yeah, where it's like, because in the Torah or the fucking Bible or any of this stuff, it's like, no, you like cut off some heads when shit isn't right. Like you stone people to death.
Stoning.
And they're just like reading it like it's legit.
Yeah, there should be some updates.
There Maybe needs to be some major updates.
A new edition.
Yeah, because it's
paper,
like...
a paperback.
I was talking to one of my gay friends about it, and they're like, religious people hate gay people. It's like, no, they need updates, because back then, you put your ween in an ass, you're going to fucking kill the village, because they didn't have penicillin.
Sure.
Same with shellfish. It's like, yeah, eat shellfish, you'll be banished, because it fucking killed you. And the same with, like, you know, mixing cheese and meat and stuff. It all had, like... those were all great rules at the time.
Yeah.
Like if you bang a dude in the ass, there's a good chance you're gonna spread hepatitis to the other people. And then as soon as people discovered condoms, penicillin, and stuff, it's like, oh God, no longer hates that. It's fine. Put it in the ass. It's great.
Try. Yeah. I mean,
same with adultery. Yeah. Like
ask before, but try.
One of my Christian fundamentalist friends was explaining to me, he's like, we don't hate gay people. We hate everything that isn't procreation. Like jerking off is just like two dudes fucking.
Right.
It's all just sin. It's like any spilled seed is sin. So that kind of opened my eyes a little bit because you always picture these dudes being like, they just hate gay people. And you're like, they just hate everything that isn't baby making.
I once was talking to a guy I'm friends with, and I was like, I don't like snarky flaming gay guys.
Right,
not
as well
gay,
you shouldn't.
It's because they're fucking annoying. I don't like annoying.
Yeah, and the problem is they front load the victim group so that if you are like, stop saying my curtains suck, I just met you.
They're very judgmental.
I think some of them lisp just to get away with shit, where they're like, oh my God, you're fat fucking ass. I'm like, I'll fucking kill you. It's like, your floors are shit. And I'm like, well, then I'll throw you out of my, like, cause if a.
Everything's shit. You can't go. Don't tell them where you went on vacation.
Oh, and by the way, and everyone is like a connoisseur for comedy writing too. That's a snarky gay guy. It's like, how is that funny? It's like, it just got a huge laugh. Like, fuck you. Because if it comes from like my voice, like if I was like, I hate your carpet, who decorated this place?
You're just a fucking
Oh, dude, the
ass.
Dude's wife would be like, never let Owen over again. He's a disrespectful cunt. But if like if a gay guy's like, oh my God, then the wife's like, really? We should probably get new drapes.
Yeah. Yeah. If you walk into a party and go, this is the worst collection of shirts I've ever seen on a bunch of people.
Yeah, it's like, who dressed? It's like, who dressed him? He did, and he worked hard for his clothes.
They're like, Gary's here.
I know, but the flip side is, though, is they're wicked funny sometimes.
Totally. And why all rich or well-to-do?
I have several theories.
All right, we won't get into all of them.
Years,
or we could.
You know, the double income, no kids.
Yeah, that helps.
Huge. And
kids are expensive.
I think that males show affection through essentials and females through non-essentials a lot of times. So, because a lot of my gender theories comes from my like long-term coupled gay friends, where if you go to two men that have been together like 20 years, their place is sleek and great.
Yeah.
Where there's no fucking, it's just marble and steel. It's located in a great place. There's wide open spaces. Like HGTV would be
like
yeah.
Those things. Yeah.
You go to a lesbian's house and it's like laminated maple leaves and really highly personalized shit that doesn't always match other shit. And they, like, don't necessarily live in a great neighborhood, but, you know, it's next to a bakery that they really like.
Yeah.
It's very personal. And HGTV would be like, this isn't going to go up in fucking value.
Right.
So.
And if you're good at camping and stuff. If you're going camping.
Subarus. Lesbians, and you have to have a Subaru.
They'll help you out. I was helped out once in the Rocky Mountains.
My brother drives a Subaru. He claims that it has unbelievable four-wheel drive and no one sees you coming.
Yeah.
Because Subarus they're like, oh, it's a Subaru. And then it's like, yeah, but I'm also a giant lumberjack. My brother's a giant lumberjack.
No one sees you coming. That's what you want.
Because my dad's like a snarky.
On the road.
My dad's snarky. My dad is like Queenie because of his like opera singing background and stuff. So that's where I kind of have my strong opinions about it because he will just say absurd things. But because he's wearing a colorful nightgown.
It's fine.
It's like fine. He's just like. Oh, Owen, did you hear the one about – I'm like, hey, he's going to get away with it. Like when I was a kid, he'd go into like places with older ladies, like women in their 70s. And one time – true story, I'm a little kid. She goes, John, did you hear we're going to get 8 inches tonight about snow? And my dad goes, oh, don't you wish. And they just start dying laughing. And I'm like, if I said that, like, don't you wish, or if I was like, don't you wish – they'd be like, you perv. Like, you're talking about cock? And my dad would be like, don't you wish. And it's like, oh, you're terrible. And I'm like, but why the fuck can't I say it? Like, he has to bat his eyelashes and wear penny loafers.
Love it.
Let's see what else I got for you before we wrap it up. What's your worst bomb you've ever had and why?
Worst bomb was a joke I looked for, I couldn't find. Was I said... I started a new hobby the other day, a couple months. Been whittling wood, and
isn't wood implied?
Probably. That's
like,
probably
if you just say whittling.
I've been whittling.
Is someone like, oh, he's talking about aluminum?
I think.
But it's clearly wood. It's like you're whittling.
I've been whittling wood.
Right, but I like the alliteration though.
Yes, I think that's what
whittling wood is good.
I said I've been whittling wood, but
whittling my ween.
But I don't know when to stop, so I got nothing to show for it. And that usually bombed. One of my friends really liked it, and I
love it.
Every time he was there, he's like, you got to do the whittling thing.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
All right, I will. And I do it for him. That was one of those things we were talking about outside. Like, I knew that one was going to bomb, so then I had, like, a backup for it, which I don't usually
right,
do.
What's your backup?
My backup was, I go, yeah, you know what? I talked to a guy outside. I've never done this place before. I talked to the manager outside, and he was like, you got a whittler joke? You got a whittling joke? And I go, yeah, yeah, yeah. And he goes, good, good. You got to have a whittling joke.
Dude, that's
like,
okay. Hilarious.
So that was that would usually then kind of get a laugh. So it was, like, worth it to do that. But I also had a bit where I would say I wanted to be a Batman villain called the Whittler. And I would say, hey, are you made of soft wood?
Because I can make you a ship.
That would bomb then, too.
I love it.
Anyway, that's usually a bomber.
Do you think it's because people don't know what the verb to whittle is?
I mean, it's not the hardest joke. It's kind of clever, I guess. I kind of fell in love with it and fell in love with myself.
That happens to me all the time. I call them white whales. We're like, you're like, no, the people will like this. And you just chase a joke like it's fucking heroin.
But then I won't yell. I don't like yelling at the audience and be like, oh, we got a real smart crowd out there.
Oh, you can't do that.
And I don't do stand-up enough to like.
I only do it if they're fucking hammered and I hate them.
Right.
Like, the only time I'll do it is if they're disrespecting me. If they're not laughing, I'll never do that.
If they're talking.
If they're yelling
shit,
at me, then I'll be like, you people are fucking morons.
Yeah.
But if they're, like, just – when I used to open for Julio Iglesias and be 5,000 Hispanic people that don't speak English, I would, in my head, be like, I'm going to approach this like, if you add laughter later, you'll think I'm doing well.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Where I'm just doing my thing and that – even in the silence, I don't acknowledge it. I'm just like, it's great, you know, it's great to be here. So anyway, and I just kept going just, because
yeah, plow through.
And because by the end they would laugh. And if I acknowledged every time that I needed their affirmation and I didn't get it and I'm mad at them, I would look like a child.
And you just waste time. For me, it's usually you can do a lot of time. I usually have like 6 minutes, so it's like I gotta plow through.
Right.
That's why I don't ask questions. Like a lot of times like
it's like you sexually.
Right, exactly.
You're like, I have 6 minutes,
this
I gotta plow through.
I got yeah. I don't yeah. But the I also don't like being like, hey, who's from Chicago? Because what, or who's married out there? Like, I don't like asking questions because the best you're going to get is like.
Right.
And it's like, oh, and then you got to comment on how no one's from Chicago. So I just like to say like, hey, I'm from Chicago. And then just go into it.
Right.
That's what I do. I don't
know. Yeah. It's like, I remember when I was open for Swartzen in like 2005, he goes, what is this? 50 questions with Owen? And I was like, what do you mean? He's like, stop asking them shit. They can't answer. It's a crowd. It's a darkened crowd of strangers. Because I'd be like, anyone tall here? Because I'm tall. It's like
right,
every,
just say,
every
so I'm tall.
Every setup I would do, I would start with a question. And yes. He's like, stop asking them fucking questions.
He's right. I agree.
Because it also puts them on their heels where they're like, they can't just sit and enjoy. They have to like be like, he's going to ask me more questions.
You can never get a huge laugh off a
from a question. Unless you respond with like, anyone married here, look how tired they clap. Like if you do a joke about
like that,
that.
Yeah.
But that's funny.
Do you have another question?
Well, I was going to keep talking about, well, you had another one. You had the whittle. And then you were going to tell me another one, but I kind of just kept spiraling about the whittle.
Oh.
Your second joke.
Oh, my my second bomb?
Yeah.
Oh, I was in the airport the other day. I saw a black guy with dreadlocks wearing a shirt on that said, fight me, I'm Irish. And I'm like, well, very clearly he is not. And it was like,
right.
You know, and they let him right on the plane. And I thought that was bullshit. Like, what if I had a shirt on that said, shoot me, I'm black?
Oh.
Bomber.
Yeah, I could see that.
Yeah.
Shoot me, I'm black.
I thought it was no. Fight see, me, I'm Irish.
I like it, but I can just it's the trigger. When I first started stand up, I used to do a bit. If I ever owned an abortion clinic, the slogan would be, "If he doesn't pull it out, we will." And it would always kill, and then I would lose everyone.
Sure,
because that's why I stay away from words. Like I never address I never say abortion, I never say politics, I never say because it's like it, like shoot me, even if because I know what you're doing. It's clearly not racist. It's not angry, but it's like people can't do that. Like I was trying to come up with a theory about crowds where there's consumers and then there's interactors. Where there's people that just want to sit there and laugh and they don't want to think about anything. And then you have like the Bill Burr crowds where it's like they're ready to fucking get taken up a notch in thinking.
Mm-hmm.
Like if you're doing that crowd, that joke would work.
Yeah.
But because people are like, oh, in context, this is funny.
Right, right.
So many people can't, they don't understand context. Where it's like you're not saying you want to shoot black. It's like,
right.
It's surprising how certain people, and it's not because they're dumb, it's because they're not there for that.
There was a guy who I thought was pretty clever, and he likes an edgy joke. After that bomb, he came up to me and goes, "Yeah, lose the shooting."
Yeah.
I go, all right.
Well, I used to do right after Ferguson, I had to drop a bit that I was doing, like a short song that would always kill any race, always great. Like it was. Being white is awesome. Cops pull us over just to give us high fives.
Right.
And then it would always do great. And then right after Ferguson, it would just tank.
Try it now. Like,
I know, but it's like.
No, you're done. That's done for a while.
And And now it might work a little better because now I have a bit where I'm like, one time a cop pulled me over because my windows were up. And when he saw my white skin, he gave me his gun and badge and let me fuck his wife. And that would work. Kind of, but I just stay away from the whole deal. I don't even touch race anymore because I look like a fucking Nazi propaganda poster.
Yeah.
It's like I'm not even close.
Sure.
And it's like, that's why
you have a lot of Nazi stuff at your place.
Tons.
Which is cool.
Well, the funniest thing is like I have like a Jewish grandmother, but I can't do anything about that because I look so like – it just never works for me. And I want to talk a lot about like, you know, my Jewish grandmother, my Irish Catholic grandfather and like all the jokes in that.
Yeah.
And it's like – like I was also working on another bit idea where one of the reasons Jews are so paranoid is because what they are is also the insult. It's like, and it's all tone. So it's like Jews and like Jews. And it's like, that must make you really paranoid because you never know. And then like, cause Jesse Schiller had like a tag and I was telling my buddy,
is he Jewish?
extremely about, you know, that that vibe. And then I was telling my buddy, Trayvon Freeze, a writer on The Daily Show. He's one of the funniest fucking dudes ever.
I know, I got it.
And we're like just riffing. I'm like, we're talking about how it's all in the eyebrows, where it's like when you say Jew, it's all in like your eyebrows, whether or not you're anti-Semitic or just like saying the only word that the people could possibly be called.
Not enough words.
Right, exactly. Not enough words. And so he was like being like, yeah, I was working out a bit about how crazy it would be if like a predominant black religion was called nigger.
Sure.
And it was still the slave word. It's like how much conflict that would cause. And I'm like, dude, you got to do this bit. I obviously can't for obvious reasons because you got to be able to drop a hard N.
Yeah.
And it's like, I'm never going to do that on stage. I mean, Louis can do it occasionally. I'm just not that fucking clever guy. So I just don't even touch those bits because it's like, I just don't want people to think I'm possibly coming from anywhere that isn't a good place.
No, that anytime, and Corby actually, you know, when we met, I think doing a stand-up show with you, I was doing it with you at Hotel Cafe.
I bring people together.
That's right. And she's, you know, she edits my shit and I value her opinion. And she was like, don't do any kind of like little edgy racist thing or whatever. I'm like, she's like, don't. Just
don't do
make
it.
Make fun of how you've gained weight. And I'm like, okay.
Except for the black people crossing the street one.
That one also.
Because that one, it's just so goddamn true.
That's a one that's a question that I ask. That's
what's that?
That works. Have you seen the YouTube?
Right, right, right.
Anyway.
Because it's like they always walk slow across the street in a crosswalk. Like, after you did that joke, because I never even had that stereotype, because I also want to do a bit about how most stereotypes are completely wrong, where it's like, Jews love money, black people love fried chicken. It's like, what human doesn't love money and fried chicken?
It's true.
Obviously, I mean, then someone pointed out the obvious that Chappelle fucking monsters that joke.
Yeah.
But you can do it with all the major stereotypes apply to everyone, and they're all, like, Jews loving money. It's like, who the fuck, like, everyone works for money. Like, more money is always a good thing. Who the fuck doesn't like money? Who doesn't like fried chicken? Some about, I can't even think of an Asian one. Hispanic.
Bad driver. But yeah. That doesn't make sense.
Yeah, I mean, I guess everyone's kind of a bad driver.
No, I take that back. That was just racist.
But
I think
like
it could be, the walking across the street could be like, I think it goes way back to you made us wait so long to be free. Now we're going to make you wait.
Right. I don't know what the fuck it is.
It
I
could
think,
be.
I don't know, man. Because it's like one of the only groups of people that consistently.
Asian people like smart. They want their kids to be smart.
Right. That's a good one. It's like, who doesn't want their kids to be smart?
I think I.
Yeah, because most stereotypes are like oddly positive.
I know. I've never met a Jewish plumber.
That's a good point. My theory about why Jews. Isn't it funny how like I had to like not do the eyebrow thing when I just said Jews? Like Jews, like high eyebrows.
You did.
And I was also thinking of a concept that Jews have gotten really paranoid ever since the invention of Botox because they can't read the eyebrows anymore. But anyway, what were we just talking about? Oh, yeah, because Jews have to read.
Yeah.
Like that's the whole thing. Like everyone's like, oh, it's conspiracy. It's like, no, they like Catholics had a dude read for them for 1,000 years and Jews had to read it. So they had like a slight edge in business, and that's it. That's the whole fucking thing.
I never thought about that. That could be it.
It's 100% it.
Yeah, you're right. I don't know.
Same with like a lot of, you know, people that are into Confucianism and stuff. Like anything where you have to read, you're always going to be, you know, it's like Asians and math. Steve Byrne has a bit about how like, you know, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15 is very confusing. Like Asian language is basically 10, 1, 10, 2, 10, 3, 21, 22. And it gives you like a year advantage because like little English kids are like 13, 14. Like why is it? And you know, like Asians speak almost like it's a perfect, what are those things called? An abacus?
Yeah.
Where it's just 10, 1, 10, 2, 10, you know, it just makes more sense.
Sure.
So it's kind of like my concept of more words. It's like their words in their head that have to do with math are more efficient. Therefore, they'll be better at math.
I think you're way onto something.
Yeah. And like a bar mitzvah, it's like you have to be able to read or you're not Jewish. So if you're illiterate, you fucking can't be Jewish.
That's right.
Like does no one else see?
I was an altar boy. Guess what my job was?
What?
To hold the book up to the priest so he could read.
Oh, dude, the craziest thing is, have you ever, like, really learned about the Protestant Reformation and what happened?
I don't think so.
It's
I don't read.
It's hilarious. It's so when they like no one read the Bible until like Gutenberg pretty much and like Martin Luther. It was like no one read it. It was one dude just... would read it in Latin. You would sit there and they would interpret it any fucking way you wanted. And then when Martin Luther broke off and then he printed a version of the Bible that anyone could read. And then the print and press started cranking it.
Right.
And people don't realize how crazy that was. When people realized Jesus was poor, there was constant rebellions.
Yeah.
Like hundreds of thousands of people were rebelling constantly because they were like, what the fuck? Like they didn't know the stories of the Bible, but they would like the whole world was, you know, the church. And then they were like reading about, you know, it's easier to get a camel through the eye of a needle than a rich man in the kingdom of heaven. And these poor people were like, so Jesus liked us, not you guys. And we can talk to God ourselves. And then everything went fucking haywire. And then the question people, you know, the debate question that could be fun to talk about right now.
Sure.
Is if there was a book that like aliens left and the government was like keeping it, because if we knew the knowledge that would like ruin all religion and all everything, would you want it released or not? And why?
I would want it released.
Even okay, millions of people will die though.
Well, wait, why are they dying?
Okay, let's say that there's definitive evidence for sure that, you know, of all this knowledge that no one currently knows. Okay. I won't even get into the hypotheticals because I obviously don't know. So, and it would debunk 100% of world religions and it would change all life as we know it 100%.
Well, is there a chance that if that knowledge is learned, then people would go, oh, okay. So we're all wrong or we all know nothing. So let's not fight.
No. I mean, literally, there's no chance. I mean, just picture how much people have invested into religion. And I'm not one of those people that says religion causes wars. Religion can justify wars, but fucking Stalin and, you know, Mao were atheists. So we can all just chill out on religion starts wars. But all of these people that are like, they would freak. They would freak the fuck out. Because it's like the Pandora's box parable. The last demon that's still allowed in the box is hope. That's the end of Pandora's box. It released all this shit into the world, you know. But the one demon they allowed to stay is hope for the future, that our lives matter, you know. Okay. Imagine if that was released, that like literally nothing matters and there's proof that nothing matters. Like, would you want that out into the world or would you keep it under wraps?
I mean, keeping it under wraps, if it does exist, hasn't worked. So let's just release it.
Okay, how about this? You find out the knowledge is we are a petri dish for another galaxy. We are literally just they dropped off some DNA 3 billion years ago, and we're literally just an experiment to see if we can invent a hoverboard. Okay, and then once we invent the hoverboard, they'll just wipe us out. We find this out. Do you fucking release it or do you not? That knowledge.
No, you don't. I think mass suicide. I think too many. Well, God.
I mean, hope's the only thing that keeps everyone together.
It's true.
Like that our lives – and I feel like our lives mean something. I'm not like depressed, but if you allow yourself to think that everything is pointless, there's no way to govern 7 billion people. And people would just constantly be getting raped.
That could very well be true. I like to say
– or just jerking off on skyscrapers. That's what I'd do. I'd just be on top of a skyscraper. Me and my buddy in college coined a phrase – a perv perch, where we would try to dare each other. Like, I mean, we'd be alone, but we would have to, like, promise that we did it, how high we could jerk.
Right.
Like, the top of a bell tower, the top of, like... So it would be a perv perch where you would be jerking, looking down at people like they're ants. So if I find out the world means nothing, I go on top of, you know, that one in Malaysia with the two towers, and I would just constantly be jerking off onto the ants.
I think Tom Cruise may have already done that.
Yeah, that fucking lunatic. So what do you
this
do?
This is what I say. I say you, you know what? No, you don't. You want to keep it because that's how you get people giving you money.
Explain.
Because if you know it, if you have it, then you can manipulate others and continue having religions
such and a
money.
Catholic answer.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's like, so if you have the knowledge, you can then use that knowledge to get more power by keeping the knowledge to yourself.
Correct.
I mean, that's your answer is very honest because it's historically been what's happened every time.
Well, here's my thing. This is what I always say to myself. If there's no heaven, I'm going to be pissed.
Right.
That's
it. But you'll just disappear, though.
I know. That's why it's silly.
But heaven, what do you think there is a heaven?
Unsure. I used to. Till I got married.
Oh!
Bam!
Oh! Jesus, that was good.
It's one of the worst things.
This is called Why Didn't They Laugh, not Why Did They Just Laugh Super Hard.
At themselves.
But what do you think the criteria would be then with heaven?
Well,
because my issue with heaven isn't what most people's is. It's like, oh, it's not possible. It's like, we don't know what the fuck gravity is. Like, we can all calm down. But
I believe in
what's the criteria?
There's so much.
What is good? What is bad?
Yeah, and then there's even if there's bad, you can get a you can repent and
backstory,
remorse, and you know,
do you find out the bad guy was molested and he's just reacting?
Right. I think I believe in God. I believe in the Ur Etvas, something from nothing.
Okay, so God is like a conscious being that was like, and now there's light. Or
I just
something greater.
Something from nothing is how I always go back to how can all of this come from blackness and darkness and nothingness?
Well, there's that theory that there's these dimensions that when they touch, big bangs happen.
Great, but where are those dimensions coming from?
Exactly.
I don't know. I always go back to that.
I think science disproves itself. That's why I'm into science for like the practical applications of like solving disease and shit. But like,
true.
Like the fact that we're interpreting everything from a flawed brain, we've already disproved science. Like on a logical basis, you can't justify anything. Like when they're doing all this, the quantum theory, and when they show that by the act of observing something makes a change, you're starting to realize that your brain is just super flawed, and it's based on evolution to get fruit. You know, our entire brain is based around launching loads and getting fruit. So it's like, how the fuck are we supposed to understand field theory? You know, and everyone's like, you know, what is gravity? It's Bent space. Like, yeah, but what is it? Like 85% of the entire universe is dark matter and we don't know what the fuck it is. So it's the hubris. I see more hubris in science than I do religion at this point.
Totally.
Like your view of religion where it's like, I hope there's a heaven and I believe in God. It's like that's less arrogant than like there definitely isn't because I'm a scientist, but we can't explain anything.
I'm a huge fan of saying I have no idea.
Right. Me too. That's my whole thing.
That's why I don't like missionaries really. People that go to other countries and convince people of one thing. Why? Who cares? Just stay home.
Yeah.
Don't go
because
over
there. The people that truly believe it don't have to do that.
Who cares? Meditation. Don't talk about it. Just do it.
Oh, yeah. It's a fact. It's like the people that when you see them drawing press to their good deeds, it's already like disproved itself.
Right.
Because someone who actually.
Humble brags. The humble. Yeah.
Oh, it's like, yeah. Yeah. They're the biggest monsters on the planet. And it's like because they need even more. It's another act of narcissism. Like I had a buddy who is constantly fucking.
Right.
And he would always play the vibe of like, but I really want love. Like, why doesn't she love me? Like, I want, and I'm like, you're not into love. You're on the next level of narcissism where you don't just want her pussy, you also want her soul. And then you still want to move on. And I'm like, that's not love. You're not seeking love. Like, you're not seeking respect. It's the same with these people that are like, I am solving AIDS. It's like, no, you're trying to get attention for solving AIDS.
What about, I think a good indicator is if you donate to like a GoFundMe or a Kickstarter and it says like, would you like to put, you know, you can put the amount, but then you also have the option to put your name or not.
Right.
Or be anonymous. Like, I put anonymous because I'm an awesome guy.
But you just...
But I just admitted...
I mean, don't get me wrong. I'm the type that would promote it because I'm a promoter. I'm a fucking comedian.
Listen,
but I'm not claiming to be...
Listen, I don't tell people when I donate thousands of dollars.
I've never donated thousands to anything.
Neither have I.
Like, ever. I have three dogs. Adopted. Pound dogs.
Rescues.
That's about it. I try to tell everyone.
I don't talk about it. I don't talk about it on
the podcast.
The way
I give back is tell every crowd to be more hydrated and respect their partners. That's all I got for the world. I'm just trying to fucking stay hydrated myself.
Somebody mentioned how much they make at work the other day, and I was like, man, I just wasn't brought up that way. And this guy said, I know, it's ridiculous. Like, I haven't told anybody that I'm spending $10,000 on this project. And I was like, and, you know, didn't say, was not said ironically or in any way a joke. I'm like, wow.
Well, you just did. It's like sometimes, like, I remember when I was a busboy, people would always, like, be like, oh, I valeted my Porsche. And I'm like, just say car, man. So I started trying to work on a bit where I'm like, I got to go pee out of my huge dick. What do we got? We got a good hour. We're over an hour. That was fun.
There's some trims.
I see no trims.
Ladies
and gentlemen, right now it's an hour 9:47. And if there's any less, you know that I trimmed, but you will not see any less. I'm going to keep every goddamn thing. What would you trim from this podcast?
Some of my ums.
No, you got to have the ums.
Maybe my thing about bad drivers. It didn't make any sense. That's okay, though.
No, the whole point is vulnerability.
Sure.
Kevin Bagans, Family Guy writer, yeah. Family Guy producer, and stand-up comedian, still says
I do.
Yeah.
I didn't do it there.
Well, now you're very conscious of it.
I am very conscious.
And you want to know what else I just noticed? You're out of the moment.
Completely.
Because now you're thinking about your ums instead of thinking about...
I'll tell you what I'm thinking about is, can I get a bet in for these late NBA games?
You're looking to wrap it up? Oh, it's 4:57. Oh, yeah, there's going to be some traffic.
All right. No, this will be zip, zip, home.
It is, right? Kind of?
No.
It's not?
It's fine.
It's 40 minutes. It'll be 40 minutes.
Hey, what am I rushing home to? I'm married.
What changes with marriage?
Everything. Oh, here's what I've been saying about marriage and kids. Everything I heard, every cliche, anything anyone ever told me, is good or bad, is 100% true.
Right.
Every cliche, everything.
Well, Corby's an amazing chick.
She is. I love her.
Yeah.
She's an unbelievable mother. She takes care of the twins by herself during the day.
That's great.
Because I have to work, but.
Yeah. He's your man.
I build tables.
Because according to Spanish, work is a male gender. And
trabajo.
Yeah. Trabajo.
It's not trabaja, right? Is that how it works?
Can it
be trabaja?
Next time we'll bring in a Spanish specialist.
Yeah, that'll help.
But I always think it's really funny that every word has a gender. Like a cup has like a dick or a vagina.
Yeah.
All of Latin is Latin, freaks. Yeah, I think I've already addressed everything I wanted to. Here's something fun to try at home. Just go up to a random stranger and tell them a joke and see what they do. The interesting thing that I found is they laugh. Even if it's out of uncomfort and you can tell they don't like the joke, they will still laugh because people want to make you happy. And the more people and the more anonymous they are, the more likely they will not laugh if the joke isn't good. But one-on-one on the street, they will feel threatened enough where they will fucking laugh. And if they don't, then you mug them.
I agree with you 100%. And my favorite place to do that is in the checkout line. I don't do self-checkout. I go to the checkout line because it always gives me an opportunity, if somebody's doing something odd in front of me, to turn to the person behind me and go, what about this guy? Laugh every time. 100%.
Every time.
100%. Whoa, what's he got?
What about this? Lately, this is something that I thought would get a huge laugh, but doesn't at all. I started, when I'd leave elevators, I'd go, later, assholes. And I just would walk out, and I thought everyone would die laughing, but the door would just close.
Maybe you can't hear it. It's muffled.
I'd be like, later, asshole. Like, after a long, silent ride with strangers, I'd be like, later, assholes. And then no one would laugh. The door would just close, and I'd be like, ah, shit, I bombed.
Maybe it's a delayed laugh, and you can't hear it because they're two floors up.
Maybe. Yeah, maybe later they laugh.
They're probably all laughing.
Or they all, like, communally were like, that guy was the asshole. And then they became friends.
But that's
because that's what brings people together, a common enemy.
That's right.
So Twitter, you're at Kevin Bagans. The big idea.
The big idea.
You're the reason I kind of got into Twitter. And you got me followers.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, you retweeted me. That's when I had to take off my email.
It's over
email.
Now. It's done now.
What do you mean?
Twitter's done. But
you think Twitter's done?
Totally.
Explain.
It's just no fun anymore. It's not fun. I don't know. If we got to think about it, we'll talk about it.
What's
after.
The next
we
thing?
Can't
though?
Say it on live. Next thing is I don't know.
People are like Snapchat. I'm like, I'm not doing fucking Snapchat.
No, that's stupid.
Because Facebook now, you'll do a post and it'll be like, 900 people saw this, even though that like way more follow you. You're like, what are you doing? And they're like, you got to pay us now. It's like, fuck you. Instagram's pretty legit.
I like Instagram. It's good with the kids. I make little jokes on there. But that's.
You don't think Twitter's fun anymore?
It's not fun anymore. I mean, the heyday was like.
I missed the heyday, kind
of. I think you got the tail end of it.
I got the tail end of it.
But yeah, from like 2011 to. From 2010 to 2012, it was really intense.
It was kicking.
And kind of destroying my life.
Why?
Just because I couldn't ever. Like, if I was at a concert, I'd spend half the time being like. Oh, a drum solo. Nobody likes a drum solo. Then you're like writing it down, or just writing it down for later, or tweeting it.
Right.
And then making a grammatical error because you're stoned at a concert.
But are people like out though? People are down on Twitter?
They're still on. It's like it's a life support thing. People can't, it's like your uncle that you have the money to keep him, you know, on the ventilator and you keep him on life support. And he's been a good uncle to you. And you're like, you just go see him and you talk to him and you hope he can hear you. And you're like, I'm going to keep him alive for another year.
So what's the next thing? Dude, hit me with the deal.
Reading.
Being, like back. Going back to the moment.
Maybe going back. Maybe a throwback. Drawing little sketches.
Flyers.
And then, flyers. Yeah, flyers. Oh, cool posters.
Cool. Yeah.
That could be it.
Vinyl with no records in it.
Funny posters. Fake posters for yourself.
So where do you put
other bands.
Where do you put the posters?
You put
How
on,
do you put asses in seats at the Funny Bone?
You put them on poster. Improv? You put them on poster. POSTR, no E. Poster.
Okay.
That could be the new thing. Oh. .org.
I'm taking .net. I'm stealing your idea.
.net might get
by the way,
more results. Poster's not bad.
If there's a time in the podcast to trim, it's now when it just showed that it's your idea that I'm stealing.
That I could see that being a trim.
Poster? It's not getting trimmed because I have too much ego to trim. I literally won't trim because I'm like, no, nothing gets cut. That's why I like podcasts because you don't have to fucking edit it.
I don't know what the new thing is. Just because Vine's done.
Vine's done.
I did one Vine. I liked it. Happy with it.
I did a few, and then I just realized it was just
too much. The editing.
Because you can do it on Instagram if you have a funny
Instagram
video.
Instagram heard Vine. That was
yeah. Sure. What about? I mean, YouTube's Ooh. Always there, I guess. But I didn't cultivate early.
My new favorite thing to do on like Instagram, I guess this is part of Instagram and Twitter, is take pictures of things. I mean, this isn't new. What am I even talking about? Like, just small clips of like local news or just little things of like pictures on TV from your camp, you know, and just go.
Yeah, yeah.
And
that works.
Local news, California, you get a lot of good. There's a lot of good material out there.
Oh yeah.
Or just like I also like line. For sports people, just rambling nonsense from sportscasters. Like, I like to just do 15-second clips of that and just go, how about these guys?
Look at these guys.
That's fine.
Dude, we should do a whole segment sometime just called What's Up With This Guy?
How about this guy? It's the grocery line. Look at this guy. How about this guy? How about this lady?
How about this guy?
It worked 100%. Laugh. You at least get a smirk.
Yeah, because everyone wants to be on your team at that point because it's like.
That's just for me, by the way. That's for me and the other person. Like, I'm not going to. I mean, I'm telling the story
it.
Now. So.
Obviously, I'm using it. What's up with this guy?
You have to.
Well, okay.
How about this guy?
One quick story then. I know we got to wrap it up because you do have, you know, you're married and all that. But I was working a job in Newark, New Jersey in a summer. I was working in a warehouse where I just had to move baggage. And I remember we went out one night and I was staying in a Best Western for like 3 months. I was making minimum wage, but I got pretty jacked because everything was so heavy. And there's this like homeless dude who walks into a diner with like crazy swagger. And he goes, and he just looks at these paramedics. Oh, what the hell did he say? He goes, he's like talking about. I can't remember his original line, but it was nonsense. And then he just goes talking about these guys. And then he goes burn. And like, oh yeah, it's his ride. He goes, oh, looks like my ride's here. Talking about these guys, burn. And I fucking like. I was obsessed with it for like years because he's basically saying like an ambulance is his ride.
Right.
And by the way, probably pretty factual. The dude was like last, you know, just beleaguered. But he still, he said, talk about these guys. And then even though no one laughed, he then congratulated himself by yelling, burn.
I like
He's like, burn.
I would have laughed.
Oh, huge, huge. All right, Kevin. It's been an honor.
Owen, thank you very much. This was, I laughed a lot.
You're my first real guest.
I feel good. I feel happy from laughter.
Yeah. No, this has been,
why didn't they laugh? Because they don't want to be happy.
I mean, that's really what it is.
I think so.
If you don't laugh, it's because you're scared of joy. You don't like to come, or you don't like to listen to tunes.
High-fiving, that's your thing.
Yeah, I love high-fiving.
I know. I stole it.
Sometimes I will five.
My dad used to just do the one finger.
Your what?
My dad. Me and my dad. He just want the one finger.
Was it called the Sistine? Just God and man.
It would be a low one. He'd give me the low one. And then I'd give him the one on top of it.
Was he being a dick? Or
no,
was he
was being really fucking cool. Like,
was it like a funny move? Or was
it was like, it was just pure coolness. It would be like, if I said a joke that worked, like when I was younger, if I had a good basketball game, like hit a couple threes or something, I'd be coming out, you know, in my bag.
He'd give you a low one?
He'd just be like, good hustle, low one, and I'd hit him back with it. It was all coolness.
Yeah, that sounds pretty great.
It was pretty awesome. My dad's very cool.
Why did he start doing a low one?
I don't know. I think because that's all he needed. He didn't need all five.
Was he missing fingers?
No.
Because my grandfather gave a low three, but it wasn't.
Sure, it was just because he had the eight.
Yeah, it's because he was a lead miner.
Tough. We'll get into that next time.
All right. You rule. This has been an episode
Thank you very much.
Why Didn't They Laugh? I will be at the Arlington Draft House this month in Arlington, clearly, and at Vince Vaughn's Wild West Comedy Festival in Nashville on next Wednesday. Well, I don't know when this is fucking going up. So, no, you know, April something. Look it up. You know, Google it or Yahoo it.
Yeah.
All right. Later.
I'll be nowhere.
Peace. Bye. If you like listening to comedy, try watching it on the internet. The folks behind the Sideshow Network have launched a new YouTube channel called Wait For It. It's got interviews with comedians like Reggie Watts, Todd Glass, Liza Schlesinger. I've been friends with her for 10 years. One of the funniest people out there, and I still have a hard time with the last name, Liza. Our very own Owen Benjamin, that's me, takes you on a musical journey down internet rabbit holes and much more. You don't have to wait any longer. Just go to youtube.com/waitforitcomedy. There's no need to wait for it anymore because it's here and it's funny. And I love you.